Second hour, DDC, Darren McFarland and Derek Mason with you here on this Friday morning. Don't forget, you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. He's going to be wearing number 28 this season for the Titans. He was the fourth round pick from Michigan. We'll see if Derek can behave during this interview. And we're now joined by Hassan Haskins, who is on the line with us. Hassan, thanks for doing this.
No problem. Appreciate you for having me.
You're laughing, so I think maybe you've been given a heads up of Derek Mason, you know, who's going to be asking you questions where he went to school.
Yeah, they already told me. I'm already knowing.
I asked him to wait till the end of the interview so he doesn't
train.
Hey,
I'm very professional. I'm very professional. I respect the young man's, and I love, you know, his ability to play the game of football. I really do. I respect that tremendously. But the other stuff we get to are toward the end of the
interview. We'll get to that. We'll save it for the end. So are you excited to have number 28 this year?
Yeah, you know, it's a special number. You know, when I was in high school, a guy that played with a couple of my coaches, and he was in the Army, and he had number 28, and he died. So it's a pretty special number, you know. So I'm excited.
Yeah, that's cool, because I know usually – most guys, you know, not everybody cares, but most guys care, and they usually have a story behind it, which is really cool. And just reading about you, Hassan, and I, of course, watched you this year. We'll also get to that as well. You know, this some of the things that people are saying, describing you as an angry runner, you know, just refuses to go down easily and downhill runner, just all the things you want to hear about a running back. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's an accurate description of you? You tell us what you think you are. What do you think the Titans have?
Yeah, most definitely. You know, all the things you just described is how I am. You know, I'm an angry runner. I don't want to get tackled by one guy. I feel like nobody on the field can tackle me. You know, that's just my mindset. I don't care who you is, you know. So, and I'm going to bring that to the Titans, and, you know, we're going to see. You know, so I just can't wait to get out there and get on that field, you know, start playing again. So I'm ready.
Have you ever heard of Derrick Henry?
Yeah, I heard him multiple
times. So in all seriousness, what do you think of him when you see him? I mean, I have to believe, playing the position, you admire what he's done at this level.
Most definitely. You know, he's a bigger back, and I feel like I'm a bigger back. I mean, obviously not like him, you know, but I'm a big back, and I just feel like he bringing the big backs in the game, you know. I just like his style, you know. And all I heard was he was a cool dude, you know, so I just can't wait to meet him and get going with him, you know. So I'm just waiting.
Hey, if your nickname's The Keen, you have to be cool, right? I mean, it kind of comes with the territory. I'm going to step aside for a second, and I do want to ask you about one of the games that really stood out from afar. Obviously, Michigan has had their troubles with Ohio State over the years and beating them. We all know how big that rivalry is. It was an early game on Saturday, snow, and you guys got it done with a big win. But really what stood out to me, and I want you to tell us about the game, Hassan, but really what stood out from afar is us watching. I couldn't turn off, like, the celebration on the field, like what it was like in Ann Arbor afterwards. I mean, that looked like one of the coolest parties ever. Have you ever experienced anything like that? And I felt like it went on forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I never experienced anything like that. You know, that moment was a moment I'll never forget, you know. And I'm just glad we got it done, you know. Me and my teammates, we was prepared, you know. I feel like we was a more prepared team, and it showed, you know. I can tell by the coin toss, it was a little, you know, it was a little cold out there. But in my mind, I couldn't feel cold, you know. But I seen in their eyes, like, they was already defeated. Like, I had a feeling, you know. But we just went out there and showed that, you know, we can get it done. You know, I feel like we have one of the best teams in a while.
How much had you guys talked about the chatter, about you guys have not been successful? Did you guys talk about that and use that as motivation, or was that just unspoken?
No, we definitely talked about it. We definitely used that as motivation. You know, we was counting the days down, you know, until we played that game. And we were just prepared. You know, it was just a different feeling. You know, you can tell when it's some type of feeling, but I could tell. And the game was crazy, I'm not going to lie.
We talk with Hassan Haskins, fourth round pick of the Tennessee Titans. You're right, Hassan. I'm watching that game from afar. That was the first time that I thought that Ohio State just got just overpowered. That they didn't look like they wanted to play from the coin toss. It was like you guys exerted your will and your power over them. And you know, there's not many good things I'm going to say about Michigan, but man, that game y'all played lights out, and it showed that y'all were heads and shoulders above Ohio State last season. So congrats on that win and ultimately getting you guys into the playoffs. What I want to know is, how was the draft day for you? Obviously, coming in, you know, there's projections of where you would go and how you rank amongst these other running backs. But you know, and I know too, that the draft don't go exactly how you want it to go. But how was that day for you?
I really wasn't concerned about where I get picked, where I got picked, you know, what round, the number. You know, I just wanted to get my foot in the door. You know, get my opportunity to even be on the team. You know, that was my biggest focus. Like, once I get in that door, it's over. You know, I'm gonna show everybody that, you know, I can be the best, you know, best back in the draft. You know, and I'm show that. So that's all I wanted, just get my foot in the door. So it's here.
Now, what was the talks between the Titans after draft day and their expectations of you coming into not just this season, but first and foremost, mini camps and things like that?
I'm just being me. You know, like I said, I've been running angry, like I've been doing, and just do me. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't too many expectations that they want to see, but I'm gonna show them that, you know, I can play. You know, and I'm waiting on the opportunity. You know, it's coming soon, so I just can't wait.
Now, have you heard from any of your former Wolverine guys that have already transitioned into the NFL, what it's like and what to expect?
Yeah, you know, I definitely talk to older guys and things like that. You know, they're saying it's a business. You know, you got to keep working and just be you. You know, it ain't nothing too different. You know, so I feel like I'm prepared. You know, especially being in Michigan, it's just I feel like I'm very prepared for this next step, so I'm ready.
Well, let's put all that other stuff aside. I know it's going to be really good that you don't have to, you know, deal with Michigan State anymore. You know, now you're away from that. You don't have to play second fiddle to the Spartans and the Spartan Dogs. I get that, man. So, but no, man, I really do respect the way you play the game. I watched you from afar, obviously, you know, two or three times a season because I'm a Big Ten guy. But you showed that, you know, you deserve to be in this league, the way you run, the way you approach the game, your physicality, that you will be a tremendous asset to the Tennessee Titans. And hopefully, you know, either sooner or later, you will be, a starting running back in this National Football League.
Appreciate that. I'm looking forward to it.
So what's the next thing for you? Are you here in Nashville, or you will be here pretty soon?
Have you ever been to Nashville?
No, I've never been. You know, I only heard great things about it, though.
So you're the person out there that hasn't been to Nashville. Okay, we were trying to figure out who that person was. Guess you're the one.
Yeah, I've never been, but I'll be down there Monday. come a couple of days early before rookie mini camp start. And I only heard good things about it though, so I can't wait. I think it's gonna be, you know, exciting, fun, you know. So,
have you heard from Taylor Lewan yet?
Oh yeah, I seen the video he made. You know, I feel like he's a funny guy. You know, I can't wait to meet him as well. You know, we're gonna click and just get along. So.
He hasn't asked you to be on his podcast yet?
Nah, not yet. You know, maybe so. You know, you never know. So,
well, let's end, Hassan, with you said you're just going to be you. So who's you? Like, what do you like? What do you like to do? What, you know, what kind of music you listen to? What kind of food do you like? Well, you know, tell us about you.
I mean, I'm pretty boring. I don't do too much, you know. I like, you know, relaxing, watching movies. Food, I mean, I eat like soul food, seafood, you know. What else? I don't do too much.
Are you a gamer?
A little bit. You know, I used to play the game when I was a little younger, but now it's been about my football, really working out. Mm-hmm. I haven't been playing the game too much, you know. So I get on here and now, you know, here and there, but not too much, you know. So I listen to all type of music. You know, my favorite artist right now, I don't know if y'all know who it is, but a dude named Rod Wave. You know, this is the big one for me now. You know, so I don't know if any of y'all know him, but. He's pretty good, you know.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I need to ask my son then. Because you and him are around the same age.
I was going to say, DJ and Hassan are about the same age. So, yeah, we may have to pick DJ's brain. Well, I can tell you this. Mike Vrabel and John Robinson, a lot of folks over the Titans probably smiled hearing that you're boring and you just care about football. That probably excites them, and you just want to get after it. So, hey, look forward to meeting you in person. It'll be cool to see what you think of our city when you get here on Monday. Thanks for doing this. Congratulations, and we'll talk to you down the road.
And go green, go white.
Thank you, Hassan.
Nice to talk to you,
thanks a lot, man. Yep.
All right, that is newest Titans running back Hassan Haskins. He will don number 28 this season for the Titans. We'll come back more on the other side. DDC, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Coming up, you can join us, Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament, benefiting Folds of Honor. That'll be May 16th. That's 10 days away at Hermitage Golf Course. Put your team together and come play with athletes, musicians, and other local celebrities. Sign up at thegamenashville.com/golf. You just made the list coming up at high noon. Boy, do we have a prize. Celebrating Ooh-hoo. Mother's Day. Michael Bublé tickets. Bridgestone Arena in August. Plus, you'll be qualified to win a $1,000 Genesis Diamonds gift card. Hello! Let me say this. Special thanks to Hassan Haskins. Mm-hmm. People like him, man. People like him. I'm getting a lot of buzz on our text line about him. Gary on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, says, King Henry and maybe Prince Hassan.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
No, it's not.
Not bad. Let's see. Donovan in Franklin says, hey, tell Hassan he can catch the Preds game on Monday night. He said Tuesday, but it's Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
Monday night game 4. That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
He could do that in his first time ever in the city. Let's see. I don't see. Unnamed texter Haskins fits in perfect. Reminds me of Derrick Henry, a lot of personality-wise. I think that may have been.
Yeah.
I don't.
Tongue in cheek. Like,
yeah. Like, honestly, though, if he kicks butt, like, does anybody care about what?
No, first, not really.
Have you ever heard anybody say, man, I just wish Derrick Henry was more outspoken, more outgoing? No. I wish Derrick Henry had some good jokes. Like, I've never heard that from anybody.
No, not really. Those guys have, you know, those guys have personalities, but, you know, you just very seldom do you.
The
public don't get an opportunity to see it, but your teammates see your personality every day, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm sure Hassan's personality will come out full-fledged once he gets inside of that locker room.
I actually thought he was pretty good in that setting.
Oh, of course.
When he came on with us. I think he'll just grow. I think he's going to be a fun guy to talk to.
I think he will. I think he will, too. But I know we'd rather him be his personality show on the field than anywhere else. And, you know, I think it will. I think guys that run with his style, it lends itself to being, you know, once you get that opportunity to being productive in the National Football League, because he runs angry. He doesn't want to get tackled. Not like every run. Who doesn't want to get tackled? But you can see it in the physicality.
There's a difference.
Absolutely. You can see it in college. This kid was a downhill runner with weights on his back.
Yep.
You know, he was just a tough out every time a tackler came up to tackle him.
John the Mailman. Welcome back, John, to the show.
Oh, you're back.
You just texted in.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure to ask him how he feels about biscuits.
Well, I could. John, don't start it again.
You know what? I should have told him about the biscuit bar at Kitchen Notes in the Omni. You know, he could go by and visit the biscuit bar. We should have.
It'd be worth the visit,
Hassan. Yeah, it'll be totally worth it. Oh my gosh, the biscuit bar is great. Mm. Their breakfast spread is fantastic. But John, welcome back. You can text today. You're back. I told you, it's just one day.
Yeah.
Just one day
just
for
don't
your
say nothing
little
foolish
snotty
like that
remarks
again.
About biscuits again. You're back. It's cool. So what do you? So you like this pick?
Yeah, I do. Because I thought that the Titans needed to address the running back position early in the draft. Now, had they not gotten a second round pick, I don't know if they still would have been able to draft a running back in the fourth round, because they would have had to move some things around not having a second round pick. But because they were able to get a second round pick and a third round pick, they were able to address a need that I think many people sort of looked over because they felt, okay, you got Derrick Henry, you got Hilliard, they're going to bring in maybe another back, a veteran back or something like that. But they needed a back like Derrick Henry in order to continue that physicality in running when Derrick Henry either, you know, needs a play or a series off, or maybe he can't play a game. That's why they were successful last year, because they were able to still have that physicality in running a football minus Derrick Henry. So, you know, this is who the Tennessee Titans are. They are a physical running team. They're not a finesse team. So you need someone like Hassan Haskins to come in and be that other physical runner that Deontay Foreman was last year. So he fits the mold. He has the attitude that they want a guy to have that's going to run the football. So I see this guy having some success, sort of like Derrick Henry did his first year with the Titans. I think he's going to have some success in the backfield. Now, how many times he carried the football, I don't know. But I do believe that.
It's 7 to 10 carries, can he?
Yeah, he can get seven.
Or seven, eight carries.
Anywhere, I would say anywhere from 5 to 8 carries
okay.
a game.
Okay.
Or 5 to 8 touches a
five
game.
5 to 8 touches, okay.
But I think that's what the Titans want. They want to be able to, okay, Derek, you need a break. Hassan, get in there. No slight to Hilliard, but Hilliard is not a powerful runner, and this is a power team. So you needed a guy like that to be behind Derrick Henry if you need him for a long period or if you don't.
Heidi from Dixon on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. You can win some games in the meantime, but we aren't great around Ryan, so we got to reset the window. I don't think they're in reset the window.
No, this ain't reset.
No, they're not. They're not there. They're not in reset the window mode.
Mm-mm.
You don't trade. I know you trade A.J. Brown, and I get it. And they've lost some offensive line. But they traded up. Or, you know, they got to 18. They invested right back in the position that you just lost.
Mm-hmm.
They brought in Robert Woods. No, when you just look at the moves they've made, they're not in reset the window. Now, it may turn into that, but like right now, the mode is not reset the window.
I don't think it will turn into that. I really don't. I think
If Derrick Henry returns to form. They're not in resetting any window.
No. But I think they have a firm hold on this organization, meaning John and Mike. And this team, I believe this team will never go into reset or rebuild mode. They're always going to be a good team that sort of reset at a position maybe, but that doesn't mean the team is resetting. No.
Yeah, yeah. Fred in Ashland City says maybe they can use that tandem like the Packers use Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon.
Yeah.
He said, if so, the Titans game could be deadly. I mean, it works in Green Bay for sure. I think that Dillon and Jones is a pretty darn good combo. Pretty good 1-2 punch when it comes to running backs in the backfield. All right, we'll come back, switch gears, talk about the Predators the rest of this hour before we get to You Just Made the List. We'll talk about your thoughts on Game 2. What did you make of it? Do you think the Predators, now that they're back home for Games 3 and 4, can they turn this into a series down 0-2? We'll do that on the other side. DDC, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Game 3 will be tomorrow afternoon at 3:30. B. Weber and Hal Gill will have your call on these airwaves. I'll have pregame for you at 2:30 at Bridgestone Arena. Actually, it'll be a Patron Platinum Club, to be exact. Can the Predators cut the lead in half after falling last night 2-1 in overtime? A good game overall. A lot of action. Connor Ingram was amazing in his first career playoff start. He had 49 saves, and there was a lot of good to come out of it. The Predators were on their heels a lot of the game, but they were able to sustain it. Colorado went 0-for on the power play, which was a little surprising considering, especially in the second period when they're in the box three times. Thought they had a golden opportunity at the beginning of the third period. They had a 5-on-3 situation. They just weren't unable to make anything happen. In fact, the best chance was Colorado's odd man rush down two men, which was very bizarre to see. And I thought that was like the window for them to turn things around, because after the first period, I really thought Colorado was the better team. The Predators were on their heels most of the time, and they were just basically hanging on for dear life. But look, once you get to OT, you never know, right? It's just exactly. It takes one play, one mistake, and the game is over. And you just never know if that can go in your favor or not. Unfortunately, it didn't go in their favor, and Cale Makar finished things off 8.5 minutes into OT. So what are your thoughts going into Game 3 when you think about the takeaways from the first two games? I don't even know if you want to include Game 1 because there's not much to take away. I think it's also pretty safe to say, barring Connor Ingram, just – And I guess John Hines has it ruled out UC Soros. But I'll believe it when I see it. I hope that's the case, but I'm just kind of thinking they're going to be without him, and it's going to be Connor Ingram in Game 3.
No, you're right. I think by the way that Connor Ingram has played a game in two periods in 5 minutes. Of the first period, I think he's shown that he should be the guy in the net moving forward, unless something catastrophic happens this upcoming game. and it makes coach change his mind. But for what I've seen of Connor Ingram, I think he should be the guy in net moving forward. He gives you – I think the guys now feel after this last game, and I hope it rings true in game three, I think now after game two, this is what I want to believe, that the guys now see and believe that Connor Ingram is okay, that he's going to do his job. Now we need to stop thinking we got to protect him all the time and get into our offensive game. Because I just think, and a lot of it was, you know, Colorado putting the pressure on them, and they had to play defense. It seemed like they were at their end of the ice more times than not. But I think after the way Connor Ingram played, you have to believe as a team, all right, we're good behind us, you know. Just like you would almost feel if Searles was behind in net. It's like, okay, we're good. Let's go play our game now. Let's be physical. Let's be fast. Let's get on that offensive side of the ice, and let's do what we've been doing, because we don't have to worry about our goalie now. Now, we're not going to put him out on the island, and we're not going to protect him when we need to, but our thought isn't, you know, we need to worry about our goalie. We need to first and foremost worry about Ingram, because he's shown in a game and a half that he got it. He's good.
Okay, but that is the question. Can he duplicate this? Can he keep it? Does it? Is it going to look like this? It's looked really good. We weren't sure, you know, how much you could really take from game one because it was already 5-0 when he came in. But I think now after game two, it's like, whoa, okay. I mean, he had some just huge saves. I mean, he, without a doubt, it was going to be the same type of game. It may not have been 7-2. Mm-hmm. It was going to be the same lopsided game if they didn't get that play out of Connor Ingram, because like I said, Colorado had him on their heels a lot of the game. I mean, it could have been ugly again, but Connor Ingram saved their bacon for sure. So the question is, can he do this again? Can he do this again in game three? Can he do this again in game four? I don't know. I'm asking you.
I mean, what did he have, 49 saves yesterday?
Yep.
He had, what, 30? The game before?
Yep. In 2 periods and 5 minutes.
Exactly. I mean, from the trend says that he can. The trend says that the more he plays, the more comfortable he gets. I don't think this is a one-time thing. I don't think this is, you know, oh, that was just, you know, his first game. It's, you know, his first real game. You know, not coming in and spilling someone. This guy has shown that he can do it. Now, everybody has bad games. I know that. But if you look at what he did when he first got in the game, 5 minutes into the first period, and what he did all last night, there's nothing that's telling me that he can't. Now, again, I get it. Things can happen. But just looking at the way he's performed under that much pressure against a team that can score from any angle.
Yep.
He more than held his own.
Definitely. Ryan and Thompson Station on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com says the Preds' top guys aren't the problem. I think this was going back to an earlier text, which I didn't really understand that one either. The problem for once is the bottom players turning the puck over in the D zone and neutral zone. It's been a problem all season, but really became noticeable the last few weeks of the season. They overachieved this season. Young players need to mature before they are a contender. They are a very young team. They used to be one of the oldest teams in the league. They shed a lot of players. They changed over their roster, and now they're one of the younger teams. And I think they may be the youngest team in the playoffs. So I could see, one, I think everybody can agree, they did overachieve this season. Nobody, most people weren't predicting this to be a playoff team. All the predictions before the season, everywhere you looked, most people had them on the outside looking in. So there's no doubt they overachieved. Do the young players need to mature? I do think there may be something to that. Says for them to be a contender, because it does seem like some of the younger players did hit a wall, the proverbial wall of a long 82-game season late in the year, because a lot of guys that were very productive throughout the course of the season did kind of stall out. Looked like maybe the well had dried up. Really hasn't changed. I do think Yakov Trenin was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, of course, he had their lone goal, but it, you go a little bit deeper than that. Yakov Trenin has 3 goals in the last 4 playoff games, so maybe Yakov Trenin is turning into that guy mm-hmm. you can count in the playoffs. I thought he was very visible, very active last night. I thought Trenin played a really good game. Colton Sissons had struggled the game before in the faceoff circle, which I thought was really weird for him. He got back on track, 67% of winning the faceoffs last night. He had 18 draws. He won 12 of them. So he was back to being really good. A lot of hits. I thought Tanner Janot played much better. Still didn't show up on the score sheet. To me, it's about some of these other guys. And I'll tell you what, we'll talk about that on the other side to close up hour number two, because Tolvin was reinserted back into the lineup. Jeremy Lauzon back in the lineup after being injured. So we can discuss some of the moves that were made by head coach John Hines and really how that affected this team, good or bad, to close out the second hour. We'll do that next. I'll continue to say it. If you're going to be up north of town from 12:30 to 2:30, anytime in that window, Robbie Stanley is going to be having a good time up there at the Rivergate Mall. He's going to be in the food court, probably eating. He'll be stuffing his face in the food court. And you'll have a chance to win a pair of tickets to see Game 3 tomorrow afternoon. Yes, tomorrow afternoon. There's going to be tickets on the line. Somebody's going to win. And someone's going to be in Bridgestone Arena tomorrow at 3:30 when they drop the puck for Game 3. Sometime before we get out of here today, we're going to give away tickets to Game 4 on Monday night. So keep that in mind as well. So Ellie Tolvanen was back in the lineup. Jeremy Lauzon was back in the lineup. He was on the third D pair with Mark Borowiecki. And I'm just going to start with something we've talked about, because you had Cunning up there on that second line with Tolvanen and Johansson. I think to me, like, this is like the real problem. This is the real problem with kind of what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't have those guys on the second line. You can't have those guys in the top six and just not producing. And it's been that way for a while. I know they've dropped Cunning down to fourth line a few times, but overall, he's been in the top six. And again, 12 and a half minutes of ice time. Yeah, he has hits. That's great. You can hit people on the fourth line. But, you know, a shot. There's just nothing there. It's been that way for half a season. To me, like, I don't know what they're going to do with Luke Cunningham in the offseason. I know he's still young. But to me, he's just a fourth-line guy. That's all he is. And I don't know why they keep playing him in the top six. I have no idea. The stats are what they are. I mean, he's just – I get it. He's 24 years old, so he's still young. But when I watch him and, you know, what he's bringing to the table, he's just a fourth-line guy. And I don't know why they've played him on the second line for most of the season. That part I do not understand. And Ellie Tolvanen, again, young. But to me, you know, it's just not there. I don't see enough where – and again, he's young and maybe it's going to change, but he's not top six. And has his overall game gotten better? Yes, it's gotten better. There's no doubt. And it is a two-way game, and you have to learn more than just scoring. But he's here because of his scoring prowess, and there's just not enough there offensively, or hardly anything offensively, in my opinion. And I don't understand, to me, like, the real issue. And look, it is what it is now. Like, it's too late to be addressing this now, even though they inserted Tolvanen back in the lineup. Those are going to be off-season topics for sure, because those guys right now, the way they're playing, they're fourth-line guys. They're not in the top six. They're not top six guys. It's just there's no proof of that, and I don't know why they continue to trot them out on the second line, but that's just you've got to get more production. I mean, Johansson's mm-hmm. carrying his own center in that line, but there's not enough there, man. We've talked about this in the past. You got to have production from the top six, and when you look at who they've paired up with Johansson this year, it's just not been good enough, period.
Well, maybe they're in a position where, you know, and you said it earlier, this is a young team. So you don't have the luxury like some other teams have that you can, you know, when these young guys are not playing, they're not playing bad, but they're not playing the way you expected them to play. You don't have the luxury of saying, okay, we're going to take an older guy, put him in that position, and you sit back and watch. I don't think they have that luxury. They're in a position where they're a young team. And, you know, it's almost like they're learning on the fly. You know, some they may have a good shift and then end up
and
having
some
bad ones. Yeah. So, you know, but it's magnified in the playoffs because this is, hey, if we don't the more games we lose, you know, the closer we are to elimination. And it's not like the season where we can say, well, we got, you know, these guys can work up to, you know, being what we want them to be. Well, in the playoffs, you don't have that time. But also you don't have the luxury either of having, you know, an older guy. You gotta play with the cards you're dealt, even though you help deal with these cards, you know?
Yeah.
So
Caleb on our text line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, says it's very simple. The Avs are getting more chances, therefore more good chances. And we are sitting back playing scared and can't even get set up 5-on-5 or on the power play. Can't play that way and win a series. We finally get a stop or get the puck. We can just clear it down just to switch guys out and go back.
I think it's going to change. I think it's going to change the third game.
Okay. What do you think is going to change?
I really do. I because of what I said earlier, I think now those guys have confidence that
– because of last night's
exactly, game? Because of last night and the game before that. Because of the first game and then last night, really last night. I think last night solidified it. Even though it was a loss, I think last night solidified that, okay, we're good in the net. That's something that we don't have to – we're always going to worry about certain things because he's a young guy. But the poise that he showed – We don't have to worry about him being rattled or him being scared or this moment being too big for him. So now I think they can just go and play now. I could be wrong.
Well, look, there's one thing they do have going in their favor. And, actually I'm going to leave that alone because that's going to get brought up a little mm-hmm. bit later. So I'm gonna actually leave that alone. I'm gonna touch on it. Yep, in a little bit later in the show.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Unnamed texter says, "Imagine if the Preds have kept Fiala, Hartman, Arvidsson, and Girard. I mean, it's just this is a silly conversation.
If was
Cunning,
a fifth,
Tolan,
you know,
and McCarron and Lozon. I mean, that's just the silliest text ever. I mean, really.
If Christmas is every month." It'd be a bunch of happy kids, you know, and a bunch of broke parents.
Really? Like that's your text? And by the way, no one was saying that about. I mean, you know, it's stop it. Just stop.
I get what you're saying. You know, text her, but hey, hindsight is always 20/20.
Well, first of all, you don't get Granlund and Fiala because they were traded for each other, so mm-hmm. that doesn't work. So Granlund would be back in Minnesota and not here. This just it. Granlund's been pretty darn good. It's been a win. That's been one of those win-win trades.
Uh-huh.
Ryan Hartman, I have always said, can play. He's good. He was a first-round pick for a reason. It didn't work out here. And for whatever reason, under Dean Evason, he's really turned – I mean, he had an unbelievable career year, which, you know, I'm sure folks in Chicago and here, other places he's been, because the Blackhawks were the one who drafted him. Mm-hmm. We're like, see, that's the guy we knew he was. Where's that been? But I've always said Ryan Hartman can play. I didn't think he was 34 goals good like he was this season. As for Victor Arvidsson, it was time to move on. And, of course, if they could hindsight, could take back the Girard trade, of course they would do in a heartbeat. But, you know, give me a break.
Can't do that.
You can't. That's not how it works.
Can't say at the end of the season, give us our player back.
Oh, you'd rather have Girard over Kyle Turris? Wow, boy, there's a revelation. Woo, man, good stuff. You say it? Did you text that in, what was that, 4 years ago? When that deal was made?
Probably not. Yeah,
I mean, that's silly. It may be also for Tolvanen. It may be too early in all this. I'm not saying throw him out with the bathwater. I'm saying so far the progress has slowed. It's just slow. It's not faster than everybody wants it. It's not faster than what the Predators want.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it doesn't work out. I don't know. Maybe he never morphs into what we all thought when there was the Tolvanen craze. I don't know. He's still extremely young. But everybody would like for the process to speed up. I'm not ready to throw him out with the bathwater. But, you know, right now it's just not good enough. It just isn't. And Cunnan, I think, again, he's young still. Mm-hmm. But I just think right now he's like a third or fourth line guy. That's it. And that's probably what he is. That's probably best suits him. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. That doesn't make you a bad hockey player. You need those guys. So, again, but I don't know if, you know, he's in the plans long term or not. I would say his age may keep him in the plans. I'm not sure. But we will certainly see soon enough. We'll come back. We'll start the third hour with You Just Made the List. You're going to have to get involved. We've got a tremendous prize on the line. We'll do that next.